website. And of course, do get in touch with every style and type of jazz. And now, here on BBC Radio 3, it's time for Kevin Legendre and Jazz Lineup.
Hello, and hope your new year has got off to a fine start. Well, 2018 has barely begun, but the exciting news is that this year's South Coast Jazz Festival in Shoreham-by-Sea will be running a specially expanded edition over 8 days. It's now in its fourth year and is becoming a firm and much-loved fixture on the UK jazz calendar. Let's hear one of the artists playing as part of this year's lineup, Pee Wee Ellis. This is Now Go On.
Thank you.
Veteran saxophonist Pee Wee Ellis, forever associated with soul brother number one James Brown, but also a great solo artist in his own right. That's a slinky number called Now Go On from the 2011 album Teneration. And you can see Pee Wee on January the 24th at this year's South Coast Jazz Festival. I'll be speaking with festival curator Claire Martin later on in the show. Now, one of the most exciting young musicians to have emerged on the UK jazz scene in the past few years is the guitarist Rob Luft. He won the prestigious Kenny Wheeler Prize in 2017 and has worked with the likes of trumpeter Byron Wallen and singer Leanne Carroll, among others, and is now leading his own group. He played a fine set at the 2017 London Jazz Festival, which you'll be able to hear a bit later. Plus, in this bumper show to mark the beginning of 2018, I'll also be playing a couple of newly recorded tracks by BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist, the bassist Misha Mulavibado and his band, so lots to look forward to. As I'm sure many of you may know, the link between Rob Luft and Misha Mulavibado is Edition Records. That's the label that releases their music. And here's something forthcoming from the label that could well prove a significant album this year. It's from another young British talent, the pianist Elliot Galvin. He's a member of Laura Jurd's award-winning Dinosaur, but his trio has been attracting attention for some time and their new album should definitely consolidate that. Joining Elliot Galvin in the group are drummer Corey Dick and bassist Tom McCready. And the original music written by the leader puts all of the jazz traditions through a very personal filter. From the album The Influencing Machine, this is a really intriguing track, Planet Ping Pong, where the stuttered back and forth rhythms will put you in a spin whether you like table tennis or not. A great use of jumpy, jolting rhythms as well as unusual textures there. That's the pianist Elliot Galvin with Planet Ping Pong, inspired by the book The Influencing Machine, which is written by Mike Jay. And it's about James Tilly Matthews, who lived an eventful life in the 18th century, to say the least. He was involved in espionage, the French Revolution, and believed that he was controlled by a machine, which strikes a loose parallel with the age of the internet. Elliot's just one of the artists playing at this year's South Coast Jazz Festival, and I'll be joined by the festival's co-director, Claire Martin, to tell us about this wonderful event, which takes place between the 20th and the 27th of January at the Rope Tackle Arts Centre in Shoreham-by-Sea. But let's not forget that Claire Martin is an excellent singer as well as festival curator, and from her 2009 album, A Modern Art, this song is another thought-provoking comment on the society in which we live, where personal freedom and state intervention are hot-button topics. This is so 20th century.
Humanity, bleed my heart for sympathy. That is just so 20th century. So good for you and me, too bad for some. Freedom's not for everyone. That is just so 20th century. Wanna see ID? Gonna pull your file. Is it fair? Don't care. That's so out of style. A security priority beats your civil liberty. That is just so 20th century. Just don't tell me about history. Don't care about dignity. That is just so 20th century. Whether it's them or us, the bottom line, forget about the grand design. That is just so 20th century. We're not wrong, we're strong. Come on, make my day. Do you think we're free? That is so blessed. It was only theoretically essential to democracy. Now it's also 20th century.
So 20th century from the album A Modern Art by Claire Martin. And I'm delighted to welcome Claire to the studio. You're no stranger to these studios. You're a former jazz lineup presenter, but you've been fully concentrating on your singing career. And you're also the co-artistic director of the South Coast Jazz Festival.
I am, Kevin. Thanks. It's lovely to see you. Yes, with Julian Nicholas and also Elaine Crouch, who's our festival director. Julian and I have gone for a number four. We're going in for round four in January for the South Coast Jazz Festival, and of course gigging and quite a lot of Ella Fitzgerald celebrations last year, so I was on the road with a lot of gigs with that. But now we're into the new year, my focus is totally on the 8-day festival that's looming. Ooh,
8 days, which is quite an ambitious programme, isn't it? Because I remember the first one 4 years ago, and it was just a weekend, wasn't it?
It was. We started off with 3 nights, then we went to 4 nights. The third one, we sort of went to different venues as well as the Rope Tackle. But this one, you know, trial and error, we're going for a whole Saturday through to Saturday of days and nights of jazz. We're having a go. We're learning as we go. We're trying to build on the festival. We're trying to recognise what works, trying to look at weaknesses. And it's a real process. And it is a lot of work, but it's fun. And, you know, a lot of my friends I hardly see are going to come down this year. So I'm looking forward to it.
Do you perceive a demand for jazz in the area?
I really do. And I think that the South Coast has got fantastic loyalty within the jazz scene. And this year we're in collaboration with the Brighton Institute of Modern Music, BIM. So the students are very much involved this year. So we've got a new strand with them happening. So yes, I think there is. And I think the loyal fans have come back year after year. We're always trying to attract new people to jazz.
Isn't any festival.
Isn't any festival, isn't any jazz musician. That's completely why we've taken a sort of, this year we're doing 8 days and we're trying to every night reflect the different styles that create jazz as a four-letter word. So every night has a theme, as it were. So we're trying to appeal to people that perhaps think, oh, never really heard bebop, you know, or what's trad like? Or so we're trying to really establish something for everybody this year.
The full spectrum of the music. We know that jazz is a broad church. This is a very varied programme that you have this year. Talk us through it. Just give us some of the highlights.
Well, I mean, Kevin, I'm looking at it and every night's special to me. But Pee Wee Ellis, of course, you played him earlier on. He's playing on the 24th of January with his fantastic funky band. Somebody I'm really keen to shine a light on is the wonderful Alexandra Ridout, who's the trumpet player, of course, 2016's BBC Young Jazz Musician of the Year. She's playing with Clark Chase's new quintet. And if you can just make one night at the festival, on our first night, the Jazz Repertory Company are doing 100 years of jazz in 99 minutes. That's on the opening night on the 20th. So for two sets, you can have the whole history of jazz and, you know, really get a feel of what the music's about. And there's 7 or 8 musicians that just take us through the wonderful styles of jazz that make up 100 years of it. So you could just have that night for a night out.
Well, that's obviously celebrating the history of the music. Another gig, which I am so looking forward to, which also celebrates a very specific history of British jazz, is the tribute to Chris McGregor's Brotherhood of Breath.
Yes.
So the late South African pianist, one of the members of the legendary Blue Notes, who founded this group, and it really had a massive influence. I know that it's inspiring for all of us to actually have this kind of celebration, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really coming together for this. We've got Steve Arguilles coming over from Paris, especially. Wonderful lineup, the great Annie Whitehead playing trombone. It's going to be 11 horns. The sound's going to be fantastic. We hope people will really just be blown away by it. So, very exciting.
Okay, here's a taster of the legendary Brotherhood of Breath from the album Eclipse at Dawn. This is Do It. Thank you. That's Do It from Eclipse at Dawn, a legendary album by a legendary group, Brotherhood of Breath. And the legacy of Brotherhood of Breath is celebrated at this year's South Coast Jazz Festival. I'm here with one of the artistic directors, Claire Martin. And Claire, a massively important thing to do.
It's special because this group was kind of in danger of being consigned to history. And then last year at the 100 Club, they had this sort of impromptu gig, was a huge success. And this has all been brought to the festival by Julian Nicholas, great saxophonist and educator, and it was him and I that got this whole thing together in the first place. And he said, let's see if we can get these musicians together and do a tribute for the festival. So the Friday night is the music of Chris McGregor, and we're really hoping to sort of expand people's mind. I mean, I can't wait. I've never seen them live, so it's a big night for me as well. So I'll be having a dance.
And it gives us an opportunity to really look at South African jazz as well and the impact that it had on British jazz. When we think about the Blue Notes, Chris McGregor, Louis Maholo, Dudu Pakwana, those legendary musicians who came over in the 60s and inspired subsequent generations of musicians like Loose Tubes, Django Bates, Chris Batchelor. The fact that you've got Chris Batchelor playing in this group as well really squares the circle. It kind of makes that history very, very real.
And, of course, Harry Beckett, the trumpet player, who's a real sort of godfather to the Jazz Warriors, for instance. So there's a real legacy there. So, yeah, looking forward to that very much.
When you and Julian actually go about curating the festival, do you start off with a wish list, or do you think, OK, we have specific themes that we need to
broach
this year?
There is a wish list, of course, but then there's a budget. You know, if we go into a fifth festival, we might make it an international jazz festival. We're trying to think of growing and getting bigger. But the wish list for us was, OK, we're going to do some singers night. Of course, there's loads of singers on my wish list. So we kind of weigh it up. OK, have we got, you know, what have we got funky? What have we got bluesy? What have we got? We have to think about it from an audience point of view. It's very strange having a promoter's hat on because I've always been the artist. And I've got to start thinking about what will sell, you know, worrying about ticket sales, worrying about if that's going to work. Is that going to reach the people that come to the... So you do have to think, and I have to say, I've looked at many jazz festivals over the years and thought to myself, why have they got, you know, Duran Duran or even, you know, Van Morrison? They're not jazzers. And I've realised that those will bring in income and revenue that perhaps that then the other nights they can afford to take a risk, take a punt, a new group, a young face coming up. I understand that now. Well, I can be more sympathetic to that now, having been on the other side of the table. So we're looking at some real no-brainers and then others, some more sort of, you know, the Smitty's Big Four. They're playing the last night, Saturday the 27th of January. They've done wonders, the Kansas Smitty's. They've really brought a new audience to that kind of trad New Orleans-y type of music. I really respect that. So I want to see if that changes our demographic, if younger people will come out and see them. So we're trying to think about that all the time. There's lots of things to think about, actually.
Sure.
Not just all your mates giving them a gig, you know.
Well, you talk about maybe broadening the festival in the future, making it international. It's already international this year because we have this really, really great duo, which is the British pianist Gwilym Simcock and the Russian double bassist Yuri Gulabev. And that really does send out a very clear message with regard to how international the music is and the collaborations between British artists and artists from abroad as well.
Thank you for putting that out, Kevin. That's a brilliant point, because that night is our kind of classical meets jazz. That's what we're trying to celebrate. We're talking about Gwilym's roots and how he moved into jazz. I'll be interviewing him. And then we've got an international chef coming down. We're going to have a special... This is our posh night, basically, this our Monday night. This could be the day where the piano gets tuned twice, I might just add. So, yes, that's a fantastic duo, exquisite musicians that have worked for a few years together. And something for us to try out in as far as we're doing this, you know, the chef's arriving, we're doing this big night out. So this gave us something to really try something new with. And of course, you know, Yuri would be fantastic to interview because I'll talk to him about his Russian upbringing and how he's ended up here with Gwilym. So you're right, it is international.
So let's have a little taster of that just to put you in the mood. Gwilym Simcock and Yuri Gulabev from the album Reverie at Schloss Elmau. This is Lost Romance. Gwilym's show, let me remind you, is on January the 22nd at the Rope Tackle Arts Centre, Shoreham by Sea. Claire, it's been a pleasure talking to you as always.
Thank you.
And really looking forward to this wonderful festival which is coming up soon. This is Gwilym Simcock and Yuri Gulabev. Thank you. International jazz on Jazz Lineup. That's British pianist Gwilym Simcock and Russian double bassist Yuri Gulabev with a piece called Lost Romance from the album Reverie at Schloss Elmau. Big thanks to Claire, and for more information on the South Coast Jazz Festival, which takes place in Shoreham-by-Sea, which is just down the road from Brighton, between the 20th and the 27th of January, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup website. I'm Kevin Legendre, and you're listening to Jazz Lineup here on BBC Radio 3. Still to come on Jazz Lineup, a performance and interview by guitarist Rob Luft at the London Jazz Festival. But before that, music from another up-and-coming artist on the British jazz scene who was recently recorded at the BBC's Maida Vale studio in London, where he unveiled some exciting new material. I'm talking about the current BBC Radio 3 New Generation jazz artist, bassist Misha Mullovar-Bardo and his group. Like Rob Luft, Misha is also a former Kenny Wheeler Prize winner whose 2015 album New Ansonia was an impressive debut. It featured none other than Jacob Collier on piano. Misha kept up his impressive form last year with cross-platform Interchange, but I'm excited to introduce new work now recorded in December 2017. So here's the band featuring Matthew Hurd on alto saxophone, James Davison on trumpet, Sam Rapley on tenor sax, Liam Dunnicky on piano, Scott Chapman on drums, and Misha Mullovar-Bardo on bass. This is Some Things Are Just So Simple. Thank you. Well, he's definitely going from strength to strength. That's the bassist Mischa Mullivabado, with Some Things Are Just So Simple, recorded at the BBC Maida Vale Studios. And there'll be more from Mischa coming up later on the show. Time shortly for our main performance from guitarist Rob Luft, recorded on the Jazz Lineup stage as part of the London Jazz Festival. It was a fantastic bill at the South Bank Centre that featured Alina Zhezhinska and Tony Kofi, Anthony Joseph, Chris Potter and Aaron Ghosh, and a very enthusiastic audience. Rob Luft was a member of the National Youth Jazz Orchestra at the age of 15 and went on to study at the Royal Academy of Music. I first saw him a couple of months ago when he was working in a really interesting theatre show with the trumpeter Byron Wallen. So just before we enjoy his performance, let's hear from Rob Luft, who I caught up with at the festival on the day. So I'm backstage at the Claw Ballroom at the South Bank Centre, and I'm speaking to the guitarist Rob Luft, who's just about to grace our stage for the London Jazz Festival. Rob, your debut album Riser came out to critical acclaim. You've been doing lots of gigs. It really feels like you've got some good momentum in your career at the moment.
Yeah, we've got fantastic gigs lined up over the next few months. Playing at the London Jazz Festival is an absolute highlight of my diary, especially with my own group, my own compositions. As I've played in this festival for the last 5 or 6 years, it's my home city, London, and I've grown up playing in this festival every year. I love it. But I've never actually played with my own group. So today is it's a bit of a moment, really, yeah.
That's a good point. tell me what it's like to actually move centre stage as a band leader, playing your own compositions, because we did know you as a sideman prior to that.
Exactly, yeah. It's very interesting, and it's taking me some time to get used to it, but I'm enjoying the challenge. It's certainly a challenge because you move more into the role of managing personalities and compositions and juggling sound worlds. Like I was preparing for this set and thought maybe kind of world influenced, African influenced guitar style might be a nice theme for this set. Not something I have to think about particularly often, even at this stage when I'm actually leading this band quite a lot now, because I've just come off of a tour with Django Bates where I've been a sideman again, and I've just done a gig with the great Italian drummer last night in Switzerland, and I wasn't having to think about juggling my own music and being able to play my own music, which I wrote for myself, probably thinking I was better than I was. But it's a great challenge, essentially.
So you're talking about African music, African influences in your music. I know that you've obviously studied the great guitarists in the canon and the great modern guitarists as well. But are there African guitarists as well who you've checked out? Because I've heard from lots of different jazz guitarists, both Americans and Britons, the African guitar player, there are so many of them who really have a lot to teach jazz guitarists.
I would say there are probably a handful of chaps, mostly West African guitarists, who have heavily influenced me, the most famous of which is Ali Farka Touré, who was an incredible blues, Malian blues guitarist. Desert blues, they call his style, you know, and he played a lot of acoustic and played with lots of traditional musicians as well. That is hugely influential to me. Obviously, the West African jazz guitarist who is at the forefront of everything now is Lano Lueke. Of course, you can't have this conversation without mentioning him. He's a massive inspiration, especially when people like me and Corey Dick, my drummer, were younger. We were growing up listening to the growing presence of Lano Lueke on the jazz scene, whether it be with Herbie Hancock or with his own trio. Exactly. I love his playing. I also studied with a Congolese guitarist who lives in London, a French Congolese guy. His name is Mbokalia. So it's been a kind of gradual process that is still very much a journey. You know, the West African guitar styles, this is a lifetime's work.
So the album is called Riser. You're just about to play the set for us. What are you going to start with?
We're going to start with the first song on the album, very appropriately, which is called Night Songs. It's inspired by South African township music. It was directly inspired by a great British trumpet player, Byron Wallen, who is a kind of collector of musical styles himself.
And instruments.
He's an absolute magpie. And musically speaking, he is incredible. And I'm so grateful to have played with him as well. And this was something I wrote really as a dedication to my admiration for Byron.
Rob, an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you.
He's influenced by guitarists Derek Bailey and Thurston Moore from Sonic Youth, among others, but he's carving out a style of his own. That's guitarist Rob Luft and a piece called Beware. Remember, it's worth checking out the Radio 3 website for more details on all the tracks played on today's show, and you can download the show and enjoy it for up to 30 days after the broadcast and listen to it wherever you go. Really great new music now from a contemporary jazz giant, the saxophonist David Murray, whose forthcoming album Blues for Memo could well prove to be one of the best of 2018. That's an early prediction from me anyway. He's made a huge amount of records, but this is a particularly strong set where he pays tribute to a variety of influential artists. Lawrence D. Butch Morris, one of the godfathers of conduction, that's spontaneous composing with an orchestra, the poet Amiri Baraka, and the Turkish jazz impresario Mehmet Memo Ulug, which is why the album is called Blues for Memo. It has an all-star cast featuring pianist Jason Moran and Orin Evans, drummer Nasheed Waits, bassist Jaribu Shahid, and the spoken word artist Saul Williams, who's on this superb track, A Mirror of Youth.
And out of the sun's gates come little girls in dresses of fire, wearing pigtails of braided smoke which stem from their moon-painted scalps. The glowing seeds of a nightly garden that will blossom in the full moons regardless of the sun. They know the night and the seven names of the wind and the tales of their windblown fathers. Who will father these mothers of light? And what will become of me, children of the night? Fathers must feather the wings of women. For the untethered masses, dame ridiculous, carrying crosses of phallic-filled tombs. The future sails silent through blood-filled wombs. I dribble with riddles of cows and spoons and birds, moons and earth, sun-centered at noon. She buries her eggs in the soil and plants her feet in the sky. Soil sees a circus of carrots and clowns and minstrel shows our desires. And here I stand, court gesturing infinity, fetal fist of revolution with open hands, birth humility. Now what is the density of an eagle this planet? Must my spine be aligned as broad wings? I'm slouching and slang steps and can't go with gang reps, but my orbit rainbows Saturn's rings. Mystical elliptical, presto Polaris, karmic flame future, when Saturn's in Aries, and now I'm a fish called father, with gills type Disney. Blowing looking lullabies through the spine of time to tranquilize the nervous system's defeat. At the feet of forever, the children are gathered or rather buried in that mass graveside of the night, the seeds of light planted in the sky. Chess on the sunburnt backs of one-eyed turtles. Check making a lifetime slow crawl to enlightenment. Cashing in their crown of glory for magic and contradiction. The children of fiction. The inscription of the grail. The rumors of war and famine, diseases, storms of hell. All hail the new beginning. Behold the winter's end. Bring on the puppets and dragons. Let the ceremonies begin.
for they have come to shatter time and bring back the dead. Newborn, an army of me. Wearing chains. Children of the night.
It's early days yet, but that could well be in a lot of best of 2018 lists come the end of the year. A really beautiful record by David Murray, which features some stellar guests such as the poet Saul Williams, who's on that track, A Mirror of Youth. Murray's roots in gospel can be heard throughout, but the composing reflects a wide range of influences and has some of the best melodies he's written for a long time. The album is Blues for Memo. It's out on the Matema label next month. Another musician who could well have a very good 2018 is the pianist Jamie Saft. He's been active for some 25 years, working in a really wide range of groups and different styles. Among his recent collaborators is none other than rock's enduring wild man Iggy Pop. And Saft has been more visible in the last few years as a lot of his work has been issued on the excellent Rare Noise label. And next month, his first ever solo album is released. It was recorded in Genova, Italy, and interestingly, Jamie's choice of songs was shaped by what he calls a rough patch that America was going through politically when he was first asked about doing a solo piano recital. In his own words, "I wanted to present American music as an example of positive, forward-thinking art." So the set list includes music by John Coltrane, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Charles Ives, and Stevie Wonder. Here's Jamie performing Stevie's Overjoyed. Pianist Jamie Saft with his wonderful take on Stevie Wonder's Overjoyed from the forthcoming album Solo a Geneva, which is out in February. From live music in Italy, we go to new music in London. Here's BBC Radio 3's new generation jazz artist Misha Mullah-Vibardo, recorded at the BBC's Maidevale Studios. This is a brand new composition called Little Vision.
Thank you.
Well, he's a very good accompanist. I've seen him working in a range of bands, and I've also seen him playing in an art gallery as well. That's the bassist Misha Mullev-Abada, with a really nice track called Little Vision, which has some excellent changes of harmony and melody, featuring Liam Dunnicky on piano, Scott Chapman on drums, Sam Rapley on tenor sax, James Davison on trumpet, and Matthew Hurd on alto sax. On next week's jazz lineup, we have music from the excellent Trinidadian spoken word artist Anthony Joseph, recorded at the London Jazz Festival. And remember to catch Jeffrey Smith's Jazz Tonight at midnight. Jazz Now will be here on Monday night at 11. This week, Soweto Kinch introduces one of the highlights of last year's London Jazz Festival, a set by the big band of Darcy James Argue. But we'll play out with music from guitarist Rob Luft, recorded on the jazz lineup stage as part of the London Jazz Festival. This is a track called Riser, which is also the title track of his album, and he's certainly a busy musician over the next month or so. You can see him with Enzo Zirilli's Zero Bop on the 19th of January at the Vortex in London, and also Monica Litka at Jazz Café Posk on the 20th. Till next time, from me, Kevin Legendre, bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you. Joe Webb, Corey Dick, Tom McGrady, Joe Wright. My name is Rob Luft. Thank you.
Riser, performed by Rob Luft, ending this week's edition of Jazz Lineup. Tonight's programme was produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade.
Late works by 20th century masters. Janáček, Carter, Berg and Bartók. Performed by Simon Rattle and the London Symphony Orchestra. With Isabel Faust as the soloist in Alban Berg's Violin Concerto. Radio 3 in concert, this Tuesday evening at 7:30, and then available on the BBC Radio 3 website.
In a few moments, we'll be going to the Metropolitan Opera in New York for the operatic double bill Cavalleria Rusticana and Pagliacci. That's followed at 10 by Here and Now. We'll hear more highlights from the London Contemporary Music Festival, with works for voice and electronics composed and performed by the American vocal pioneer Joan LaBarbera. The new music ensemble Apartment House performs songs by Chris Newman. And the electronic noise pop band Yeah You will be demonstrating how they use a saloon car as their studio. Not to be missed, I think. Here and Now is at 10, followed by Jeffrey Smith's Jazz at midnight. But now it's 6:30. Time for Opera on Three and our broadcast from the Met in New York.
We are live at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. I'm Mary Jo Heath, and in today's Saturday matinee, tenor Roberto Alagna stars in two dramas of illicit passion and violent revenge, Mascagni's Cavalleria Rusticana and Leoncavallo's Pagliacci. He's joined by Ekaterina Semenchuk, Danielle Paston, replacing Alexander Kushak, who is ill, and George Gognidze. Nicola Luisotti conducts this searing double bill. Stay with us.
And we'll be rejoining New York in a moment after their short advertising break. The Metropolitan Opera broadcast season is supported by Toll Brothers, the Annenberg Foundation, the Neubauer Family Foundation and the Vincent A. Stabile Endowment for Broadcast Media, and broadcast here through an arrangement with the European Broadcasting Union. Now let's return to New York.
I'm Mary Jo Heath, and I'm joined by commentator Ira Siff for two short, powerful works. Ira, we think of these two as launching the Verismo movement in opera.
Yes, gritty, hot-blooded dramas expressed through music that's emotionally direct yet melodically rich.
Well, the double bill begins with Cavalleria Rusticana by Mascagni, which premiered in 1890. The title means rustic chivalry.
Yes, and that refers to old standards of honor in the Sicilian village where the story takes place.
There is a little backstory. Turiddu and Lola were in love, but while he was away in the army, she married another man. So Turiddu took up with Santuzza, but now he and Lola are having an affair. So let's talk through the synopsis, Ira. The opera takes place on Easter Sunday morning. Just before dawn, Turiddu is heard singing of his love for Lola. The villagers start their day, and Santuzza, looking for Turiddu, approaches his mother, Mama Lucia. Lola's husband, Alfio, passes through, singing a boastful song about his successful business and his loyal wife. The villagers process to church, singing an Easter hymn, Inneggiamo, let us sing praises, the Lord is risen.
It's a stunning choral melody over pulsating chords in the orchestra, and Santuzza's voice soars above the others. She considers herself a sinner, unworthy to enter the church, but she's deeply devout.
In her famous aria, Voi lo sapete, O Mamma, she explains to Mama Lucia that she gave herself to Turiddu, and they were in love until